Welcome to Metaphysical Insights. I'm Reverend Cindy Paulos, and I am honored to be here today with Dr. Michael Leike, and he is a fellow metaphysician, and I really am looking forward to talking with him and exploring in this hour what he has been doing with these beautiful gifts he's discovered. Dr. Michael Leike is an international author with many books, a clinical hypnotherapist, a doctor of theocentric psychology, producer and host of his own blog talk radio show, and he's creator of the thing called, which we're going to talk about, the Transcendence System. He has a diploma of clinical hypnotherapy from the Robert Shields College of Hypnotherapy in England. And so very, very glad to welcome you today, Dr. Michael Leike, calling in from Canada, right?
Absolutely. It's a great honor to be here. And yes, the West Coast, or sometimes we call it the Wet Coast, Vancouver. It's great to be here, Cindy. Thank you for having me.
Well, you know, as I like to ask, I mean, so many people in the world are just discovering what metaphysics is, what it's about. There are a lot of preconceptions and misconceptions about that. And so I'd like to kind of discuss with you a little of your background and what brought you into seeking that inner connection and discovering metaphysics.
Wow. Well, there's this whole story behind that. Both my parents, who are gone now, one was a firm believer in God, not in a religious way, but in a very spiritual way. My dad had a near-death experience at age 9, and they were saying last rites over him and all of this sort of thing. And he claims that a figure wearing white robes placed their hand on him and said, "You're going to live, Louis," Louis being his name, of course, and he did. And he lived. Now, skeptics could say, well, it was because of the fever, maybe he hallucinated. But he shared that story with me when I was definitely under 4 years old. I have great memories of being really young. And that stayed with me, something greater than ourselves, but yet within ourselves, always being there. My mom was a psychic. She didn't earn a living from it, but she was from Europe. I'm of European extraction. I'm Jewish, but a Russian and Austrian and Polish Jewish person. And she was very superstitious. She did mediumship. She saw her deceased mom and would converse with her. And there was just this whole great, and mixed with love, of course, always love right on the surface with both my parents. I was very blessed that way. So I had this mixture of the psychic realm, if you will, and firm belief in God, but not in a religious way. I never went to synagogue until later when I enjoyed other friends or family members' various celebrations. So it was always non-denominational. fast forward a little bit. Here I am. I'm in college already taking graphic design, and I'm the only schlamazel. I'm the only person studying meditation on my own because something just said within myself, the key to something greater, the key to God, if you will, lies within yourself. And at the time, in popular media, Kung Fu, the television show, was popular. And whenever I saw those flashbacks to the past in the temple, something within me lit up. I could almost see myself in those days, in those times. And also, a hero of mine, whom I adore, is Cat Stevens, Use of Islam. His music greatly influenced me, and he was into Zen. He was into Buddhism at the time. So I saw a very clear path at around 18 or 19. Here I am in college in a relatively serious thing, but also parallel to that, while all my friends are out drinking and whatever people at 18 or 19 do, having fun, I'm having my own fun. I'm having my own quality of life by starting to meditate. I researched it. I studied it. I started following it and doing it without any particular leader, without seeking that outward. I sort of followed my own guidance system, if you will. Fast forward again. because after college, I kind of forgot all that. I stopped meditating and went right into the field of graphic design and advertising, and for many, many years successfully in Montreal, where I'm originally from, then Toronto, then a great city named Winnipeg I moved to because my first wife was from there. And wow, what an amazing place Winnipeg still is. Whenever I visit, whenever I go back there for book signings, I find, oh, just an opening. I feel the most free, believe it or not, in this town that has for 6 months of the year 40 below zero and snow. I just feel myself. I feel right. And so moving there created another catalyst for me. I was working in graphic design, but my always love, if you will, was also magic, stage magic and entertaining. And that really brought me out of myself. I was given many opportunities to do magic and performance art and get paid well. I bought two houses, not at the same time, in Winnipeg because people loved me. They seemed to accept everything I had to offer them. Close to age 30, I felt this emptiness again and decided to re-pursue the most familiar thing to me, and that was Buddhism, that was meditation. And I'd like to add at this time, I didn't realize at the time I was pursuing what Dr. Masters calls mystical or contact meditation, and that's for contacting the divine, contacting God within. And so that was my whole goal. I intuitively felt if I can touch God or be touched by God or experience God in some way, I'll have it all. I'll have everything. I'll feel fulfilled. And that which goes along with the financial success which I was having at the time. So I dove right into meditation again voraciously, into Zen again, and was led to a number of teachers, one of whom was a Mahatma, or a holy person, the word means holy person essentially, who gave me four techniques referred to as knowledge, and to experience the various aspects of God, if you will, light and sound and all that sort of thing within. And essentially, it's what, again, Dr. Masters would call inner closure. So you're in essence, closing your eyes so you can experience, closing your ears so you can hear your inner music or inner sounds, etc. So right off, I was experiencing light. I was experiencing the sounds of a waterfall. It blew me away. That, I believe, was the true catalyst, having received those meditation techniques, to growth, to shedding a false exterior, if you will, and becoming more and more my authentic self. And as time moved on, and I moved farthest west, I guess one can move in Canada, back to West Coast or Vancouver, if you will, I got my clinical hypnotherapy degree. I worked as a tarot card reader. It's very popular out here, as you probably know, on West Coast of the States and Canada, to do the metaphysical arts. And I was very blessed in that way. Whereas before, everyone loved my graphic design, my animation, cartooning, Magic Mike, who I called my magical stage name. All of a sudden, the God or the universe presented me with opportunities so that I could share even more. I guess the universe knew more than me that I was ready for more growth. How it appeared on the surface was loss. I lost my parents. I lost my whole family. No one was interested in all the stuff I did before. So my ego mind or human mind might have perceived that as loss, as negativity. But really, it was the beginning of a fresh, new quality start where anything metaphysical or spiritual came into my realm, if you will, or I was allowed to practice. And as I grew more and more, I was presented with a Reiki teacher. Reiki is a form of energy healing, which some out there, some of your listeners may or may not be familiar with. It's akin to prana, but different. And if we have time, we can get more into the details. But that and meditation, so Reiki and meditation greatly contributed to my spiritual growth, because once you're attuned to the energies of Reiki or God energy, if you will, that boosts you up, that raises you up, that allows a clearing and a healing on all levels, mind, body, soul, spirit, and you move forward. Finally, timing was perfect. One day, and this was probably 10 years ago, after I'd gotten my clinical hypnotherapy degree, because I wanted to help people more than just doing the tarot card readings or the psychic readings, which have their place. People still ask me to do mediumship, and healing occurs as a result. I really wanted to touch someone's inner mind or inner heart or inner soul and see that they could actually heal themselves. So hypnotherapy was my route towards having people heal their own mind of issues that perhaps are hindering them. And I still use the techniques of hypnotherapy along with meditation as my modalities. So shortly after hypnotherapy, all of a sudden, I'm watching, and some people out there may be familiar with the DVD, The Secrets. And The Secret changed my life, but how, sort of, it led me to Dr. Masters, the University of Metaphysics, the University of Sedona, of which Dr. Masters was the CEO and the founder of it, is very interesting. On the DVD, The Secret, which professes that if you follow their techniques, you'll manifest objects and desires. They actually have it backwards. Once you get into true metaphysics and true new thought, you realize, well, they do have it backwards, but we can get into that later if you're interested or if mm-hmm. you're listening if you're interested. Dr. Michael Beckwith seemed to stand out from everyone else, and there was about a dozen people on that DVD. It's like he was speaking to me. It was like our souls were connecting. And ironically, some years later, we did meet. He's a Cancerian. We have almost the same birth date. I can go on and on about that, how energetically we connected. And I saw he had a DD after his name, and I thought, I wonder what that means. I Googled it, Doctor of Divinity, and I thought, what that sounds... Again, it resonated in my heart. It sounded right. I Googled Doctor of Divinity, and up came the University of Metaphysics. I don't think the University of Sedona was there yet, but in its infancy. And up came Dr. Masters, Dr. Paul Leon Masters, and all that he had to offer. And I thought, yes, timing is everything. It's actually God's timing, I believe, and you can't beat that. Once you clue into God's timing, you're in a flow, a divine flow that's just amazing. So some time later, I graduated from the University of Metaphysics with my Doctor of Divinity degree, and of course, me being who I am, and sometimes I think I'm nuts, I decided to voraciously go for more degrees from that university. I earned a PhD in mystical research, essentially meditation and all the great things that have been clinically proven about meditation. And eventually, some years later, and probably or maybe not my final doctorate, a doctor of theocentric psychology, which seemed to tie everything together, affirmative or scientific prayer with meditation. And it tied up everything. I'm so grateful for that learning from the University of Sedona and University of Metaphysics. So,
well, that's a beautiful, beautiful answer. I mean, you have a lovely stream of consciousness that is so clear and focused. I was just entranced by your story. And it seems like your soul obviously is an old soul, and you'd gone through this before. You wouldn't have picked parents like you did without that. And that you really, this was your whole life purpose that you really pursued with your heart 100% to get to the point you're at. And I mean, you know, I have some other friends in the metaphysical field that have one or two, but triple degrees is really wonderful, Doctor. But I'd love to go into the books too, because of course you have many aspects. That's why we wanted to make this an hour long show, because you do so many of the things that happen when you tap into the soul. You know, you do the music, you do the magic, you do the TV, you do the radio, you do authoring. But, I mean, these books that you have out are fantastic. Now, what was your first book, and how did that come about?
Ah, perfect. What a fascinating. Well, I think it's fascinating. I hope your listeners will think it's fascinating. The very first one was called Magic Happens, with an exclamation point. And part of the reason for the title was, well, people from Winnipeg and certain people from the States will remember Magic Mike Leike, Dr. Michael Leike, and they'll buy the book, Magic Happens. But the other reason is really the magic of life, if you will, or God. God sometimes, and the word magic, right or not, I sometimes intertwine for people who can't relate to the word God. And how that came about was that one year, the same year that I clued into Dr. Masters University of Metaphysics, I'm sitting at my computer, and I'd never consciously channeled before. I'm sure I'd channeled, but not consciously up to that point. And I set out the intention this year, because I'm sort of driven that way, this year, which was about 10 years ago, I'm going to write a book, I'm going to get a degree, and I forget what the third one was, but there were three. And suddenly I felt as if there was an umbrella over my head. Not right over my head, but about where the ceiling of the room was. And it was a very comforting, warm feeling, a familiar feeling as well. And I knew and I sensed, because I had done mediumship for many years previously, a presence, or a number of presences, if you will. And I asked the question in my head, who are you? And then they presented to me in a split second. It's going to take me way longer to explain what the what the answer was than the actual answer. I'd conducted a Passover Seder for the first and only time some years before. And part of that Jewish or Hebrew ritual, if you will, part of that dinner is you hear a knocking at the door. You open up the door to allow, in English you would say Elijah, but we say Eliyah or Eliyahu, the spirit to pass through. It's a great prophet, or the spirit of a great prophet, Elijah or Eliyah. And then you open a second door, hopefully there's a second one in your residence, to pass through. And that was all presented to me so that I would know the name of this group of higher resonating spirits. They were Eliyah. So that was the first time Eliyah had come to me. And I say Eliyah not as one, but as a group core. And they were essentially my spirit guides plus many, many, many hundreds. So that came to me, and I thought, holy cow, here I've been gifted this amazing set of presences for other people. Because all of this, I mean, the impetus originally for everyone is, oh, better yourself, heal yourself. But really the gifts and the tools that come to you are for others. It's for you to share. It's for you to give and be the best person in this lifetime that you can be. So I thought, wow, this is amazing. Immediately, I started typing. And it was as if I was looking through gelatin. The screen wasn't very clear. I'm just typing away. At the end of that day, I don't know how many pages I'd written. I know it took me a month to write this book, Magic Happens. And
but I have to just jump in here and say, Michael, that a month to write a book is magic, because, I mean, I've done three books. I'm in the middle of my fourth, and I know we have some fellow students and alumni out there that have books, and I haven't met anyone that's been able to write a book in a month. So, I mean, that obviously was being divinely directed and guided, wasn't it?
I couldn't agree with you more, Cindy. I'm still moved. I'm still so grateful for that, which still comes to me. And for me, it was a very, very natural thing. Write so many pages a day. I like to allot my time, because I do many things. I devoted the mornings to writing that book and the afternoons to doing Dr. Master's study, or I would flip that around. But I allotted my time in such a way. And at the end of each day, my wife, who's a teaching assistant, her name is Susan, would read whatever I'd written. We'd read it together. And yes, it all made sense. Here I am just typing away each day, and the book is coming together. Its structure, its meaning, its overall meaning, its individual meanings, I was just blown away by this. And in time, I began giving public lectures and seminars involving Elia. They would rather give messages. I would record them and just do that for free. I was just doing that for as many people as we could. We rented space at a nearby metaphysical store, etc. And the rest, in that way, is kind of history. That was a phase in my life that I'm so grateful for, where I was able to channel Elia and just give all this information so that people can help themselves. And
did you feel that Elia was an ancient spirit guide of yours, or did you ever find out? I mean, did you feel a connection? Was it another form of your soul's life, or what was your connection with this particular spirit guide?
All of that, what you just said, Cindy. But the name or the word Elia is just the name of the soul group or the group of higher resonating spirit guides. Mm-hmm. Up until that point, I was only aware of three or four around me, and I still am aware. But with this Elia group, it was my three, four spirit guides and about 100 more. Probably more. It was probably an infinite amount. Really, to say 100 is only because I saw 100, but there was way more. So it's really a group. It's really a group. And again, I'm so grateful that people started listening to the messages. They'd ask questions. I would channel the Elia group through me and give them answers and give them the free CD and do all that. I'm so thankful. Shortly after that, about a year or two after, came the book Journey of the Mind, Journey of the Soul. And I like to group those two books together because they came relatively close in time. And that was more a very analytical book. It was a very clinical book about the soul and about meditation. And I can't say... it will resonate for many, many people if they pick up the second book. But for me, I'm not so clinical. I do have that clinical side to me, which balances me. But when I look at the book, I think it's really dry. So, of course, hot on the heels of that came my third book, not Journey of the Mind, The Signs of the Soul. And that's my favorite one, even though I've written about a dozen other books since then. The Signs of the Soul contains the first two books, plus, maxed out. And it contains information on affirmative or scientific prayer, mystical meditation, all that you would need to heal yourself. But I caution people, they have to do the work. A lot of people in New Age or New Thought, and those two words are not the same. I advise people that as well. New Age is not New Thought. That when you pursue a self-help modality, you really have to work it. It's not like someone comes with a magic wand, if you will, and taps you on the head and you're healed. You have to work the technique or the techniques. You have to study them. They have to become a part of yourself so that you can just naturally do them. And sometimes that takes many years. Sometimes a person will log in, if you will, right away to the technique and relate to it. But you got to keep it up. You just can't do it once and think you're cured or healed or childhood issues are resolved. It takes many, 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 many times and many years of growth. And I agree with Dr. Masters. When I meditate every day, I meditate several times a day, I try to clear away my personal ego will. What I got from the theocentric psychology studies is all these healing techniques are well and fine and they're legitimate, anything that anyone is drawn to. But if you don't clear away your personal ego will, that's your human mind, thoughts that kind of trouble you consciously or not, you're not going to ascend or you're not going to be the best you can be. You're not going to be completely in God mind or universal mind so that you can give of your total, of your higher self. So clearing away the personal ego will, clearing away karma. And karma isn't what a lot of people think. It's not retribution, if you will. You do a bad deed, something bad happens to you. It's cause and effect. It's got no mind. There's no evil or good behind karma. It's sort of like, well, a reaction to an action, if you will. So if you do something, these are the consequences. That's all it is. So we have to clear away past life and current life, if there is current life karma, in order to be the best we can be. And
can I bring up a subject here that's so important? Because you've been talking about your spiritual path and all these things that happen, and you brought up a very important point, which I'd like to go into a little bit.
Yes.
It is the meditation. It is
yes.
the connection. It's also the burning desire to find the truth and God and become one with it. But you brought up something that I think is so important that people need to understand, which is also when you get this, there's certain ways you can incorporate it. You share, obviously, through your work, through your books, but you have to be able to live it and put it to work in your life as well.
Yeah.
And it's so different in metaphysics. You don't go to church on Sunday and then the rest of the day you just do what you're, and some people don't even go to church on Sundays anymore. They just go at
yeah.
Christmas and Easter. But with metaphysics, it's a daily practice, and then it's
yeah.
putting it to work in your life, isn't it?
Exactly. It's a living it. It's not just knowing the information. It's not just practicing the information. It's actually living the information. It's the difference oftentimes between knowing something and believing something.
And being
with a capital B, if you will. So, yes, and I found that at first, mistakenly, to be the hardest thing until I stepped back and I realized, oh, I'm already living it. All I have to do is just keep on being who and what I feel right about, and I'm sharing and I'm touching people. I didn't even realize I was moving and touching people in ways. But then if you stop, ego can come in and play a part a little bit. Then you could start to think more of yourself than you really are. And yet mm-hmm. we are the greatest because we are part of God and God is part of us. But if
mm-hmm.
you just carry on and live, I like to call it your authentic self, if you will, and just do the things that are you, much like you, Cindy. You're one of the greatest people I admire because, and you remind me a little bit of me, you're a true artist. You allow, if you will, source or divine energy to flow through you in your music, in your radio show, in your artwork, in your poetry. I can go on and on, but I genuinely mean that. I'm not just trying to compliment you.
Well,
you
I thank you. But this is, you know, no pun intended, the master path. I mean, if we are trying to really embody the master and the God and live it, I mean,
yes.
we are given, as you have been given, these gifts, a dozen e-books out and these wonderful gifts you've been given. That is the master that we are walking, and we are on the master path. And there comes some point, and it looks like you've already reached that, Michael, to me. There's the point of this wonderful learning and the searching and the burning for information. But then there comes some point on the path where you realize, okay, I have all of this. I have all of the tools. Now, where am I going to take these tools and use them for the best and the most way I can help humankind? And that means you've already gone through a lot of the trial by fire where you can be trusted enough by the masters and God to live it. And you've been able to do it through your, you know, we didn't even go into your TV show, your radio show, your talking. It's a big responsibility. So I would like you to tell other people who are listening, because you are at that master path where you can teach and help others, how you go about really doing this. Because it's
wow.
not an easy thing for people. But, I mean, there's so many people who would just love to be able to put out just one book or be able to give just one talk. And here you are doing all of these. So can you give some guidelines? Maybe it even goes into the transcendent system. Can you give some guidelines how you do that?
I sure can, and I guess transcendence does come into it. It's essentially getting out of your own way, getting out of your own ego mind that always says, oh, I can't do that, or there's not enough money, or I'm not good enough. That's all BS, if you'll pardon the expression. That's all your human, flawed ego, personal ego, will, mind, that wants you to fail, that just, it's not coming from God mind or universal mind, if you will. And all you have to do, it's going to sound simple at first, but as most of you out there know, it's not so simple, is just ignore those thoughts or go into meditation. I so recommend mystical or contact meditation, which I teach because I've learned it through Dr. Masters, and just even just meditating regularly will start to clear away those hindrances. Not necessarily, obviously, at first. We're talking many, many lifetimes of gathering mistaken thoughts about ourselves and who we really are. So meditation surely is the key, mystical meditation or contact meditation, stilling your mind. And I'm not necessarily talking about those Western, what I call Western, guided meditations and the person is yakking. And really it's a form of hypnosis, self-hypnosis, and that's fine too, because there's a place to heal your mind and your heart and your soul through hypnosis. But you really want to be able to just sit without any distractions, outer distractions, if you will, and go inward. And what you're going to do at first is you're going to feel uncomfortable a few times. This is right out of my book. You'll feel uncomfortable about four times. So you might fidget after a minute or 3 minutes and go, no, I don't think so. And then you'll take a breath, hopefully, and then you'll go in deeper. Each time you're entering into one of the various levels of your mind, so of course if those issues haven't been cleared out, you're going to feel a bit uncomfortable and you're going to think, oh, I can't meditate, which again isn't true. If you can sit and count to 10 with your eyes opened or closed, you can meditate, and that's just the beginning. So meditation as a means of getting out of your own way is a fantastic way of starting to heal yourself, your self-doubts, etc. In answer, and you see I'm taking forever to answer your question, the answer is simply just do it. And if you're passionate enough, and boy, I know you and many other people know about passion. If you're excited and passionate enough about what you really want to do, let's say you want to sing professionally. Well, don't put all this pressure on yourself and see and go, well, if I'm not on stage singing professionally in 3 months or a year, I'm no good. Just start doing it. Just start singing for local clubs. Just follow your passion. That's what I did with magic. I don't profess to be the world's greatest illusionist, but I was certainly the most successful commercial illusionist in the 80s and 90s out east, simply because I loved what I did. And I just jumped right into it naively, if you will, not knowing really what I've gotten myself into. And that's another key, clearing yourself and getting out of your own way, but being like a child again, and the child that believes that everything and anything is possible. And again, meditation helps. Remember how you were as a child, and basically you wanted a ball, you wanted to roll a little ball, you did. Nothing was to stop you. You wanted to walk, you walked. It's the same thing in this lifetime. Whatever we are meant to do, it's done already in the mind of God or the mind of the universe. We're already successful at it. And nothing can stop you from God's plans. No human being, none of your insecurities can stop you from living your soul's purpose. And you'll know that you're living your soul's purpose if you're just plain happy. If you're happy with your daily activities mostly and what you're doing in your life, fantastic. If you're driven and there's this little itch in you that says, oh, but I'd really like to do this or I'd really like to do that, do it. Jump in. If it's meant to be, again, you're already successful, if you will, you're already sharing it. And success doesn't necessarily mean you're sharing it for hundreds or thousands or millions of people either. Maybe only a certain amount of people are supposed to be exposed to what you have to give them too. So we mustn't measure success or failure from an ego mind perspective, a personal ego mind. We can't set these limitations for ourselves and say, okay, I've never been on TV, I'm no good, I'm not good enough, or so I've got this dinky show or this dinky a radio show which is only heard. You don't know. You don't know how many thousands of people or even which one, even if you change the life of one person, wow, how amazing is that? So we mustn't self-defeat, if you will. We mustn't set these unrealistic goals. And by unrealistic, I don't mean wanting to play Carnegie Hall next week, but I mean unrealistic in that setting limits for ourselves, because there are no limits in this lifetime. Whatever we believe, we start to live, and that's getting into the law of attraction and the spiritual laws of the universe, which is another book of mine, is the magnetic law of attraction. Vibrationally, whatever thought or feeling that we resonate to, if we start to believe it, it starts to become so. So why not start to feel like you are the infinite, infinite possibilities? Because that's the reality in this lifetime. It's so funny. It's like we're writing our own book of life. And do we want to write one with great happenstance, great unlimited excitement that we're sharing with other people? Or do we just want to sit curled up in a corner and suck our thumb and kind of go, "Oh, I can't do that because..." And it's like, as a therapist, I don't have patience for people like that, and I don't and I won't see people like that. I know really to do God's work, one must see everybody. But there's another therapist for that kind of person. I'm the kind of therapist, I'm the kind of person, if you are ready to be all that you can be in unlimited fashion, I'm your guy. I'm your guy. And you wanted me to segue into the Transcendence book, I gather. I felt...
Yeah, I do. I think that came... I'm not exactly sure of the order you put everything out. But you did bring out an interesting title, Scientific Prayer, which most people wouldn't have put together, science and prayer. And you brought about a couple of... great point, so much that I'm kind of trying to put a spotlight or magnifying glass on a couple of the gems of what you said, Michael. You brought up something that is so true, and I did indeed study Zen. Going back to meditation, maybe we can talk a little about the difference between meditation and prayer. In meditation, for so many, is just listening to a guided, as you say, almost hypnotherapy, which is fine. Especially if maybe you're not feeling 100% or you need it at that time, or you need some positive words coming to you. But I found in Zen and in meditating, in some of the Buddhist fashions, that indeed what you said is just sitting with it and really just being still and going within in the silence and connecting with inner self, you will find so much there, so many answers. So much that you need to clear out, because when you sit, and I've in the past have sat for days, when you sit, everything comes out. If you sit long enough and quiet enough, it will all come out. And Buddha, of course, went through that till he reached enlightenment. And it takes a lot of perseverance, but as has been said, perseverance furthers. And so that is at some point in everyone's spiritual path, I do recommend that. But there is a misunderstanding in a lot of people's minds, I think, about the difference of prayer, scientific prayer, as you call it, and meditation. Can you kind of go into that a little bit?
Absolutely. Meditation, and I'm going to say it from an Eastern perspective very briefly, because I'm aware of the time as well here. From an Eastern perspective is going inward, contacting the divine, and if you will, sussing up all that is, all your issues. So when one sits in silent meditation, and there's the nothingness or the no-thingness, which is the answer, really, no-thingness, what is the sound of one hand clapping? No-thing, nothing. In any case, thoughts, ideas, things are going to come up. They're going to come to the surface. And many people ascribe to the idea, well, just let it go. Just let it go and go in again, go deeper. I like to note these things a little bit. You don't even have to physically write down things, although you can, in case you're worried you're going to forget it, because you're still in meditative state anyway, even when you look away and you write for a bit. So you can notate, you can make note of the things that come to you during meditation. Take a breath and then go back, go deeper, if you will, because there's nothing more pleasurable than being in that peace and that joy that you find at the center. With Western meditation, it's more a superficial thing, but I believe it has some benefits if one goes deeper, and your surface mind is kind of healed. But going to the center, or God mind, the very center and nucleus of your own mind, there's nothing like it. Because then once you've contacted God, and you may not even know it, there may not be, if you will, symptoms. Many times a person can just meditate and meditate deep enough and in essence long enough that they begin to see light. But again, like Dr. Master says, you're probably at first seeing your own light, your own aura, your own energy field, if you will. Take time, be patient, go deeper, and then eventually you will experience the light of God or the light of the infinite, if you will. But the goal shouldn't be to have experiences necessarily, but just to accept while you're meditating what that is.
Mm-hmm.
That's not prayer. And in Judeo-Christian terms, they interlap, if you will, prayer with meditation. They say, oh, prayer is meditation. And perhaps in Judeo-Christian beliefs and practices, that's true. Perhaps people will put themselves into altered state and pray. But they pray in a way, and now we're going to get into the differences between scientific affirmative prayer and prayer. They'll ask for stuff. They'll plead for stuff. They'll go, oh, please, God, give me this, give me that. And that's fine. I found in the past it worked for me, but I found it only worked for me before I studied scientific or affirmative prayer, simply because I knew already inside that my prayers were answered. So that was the beginning. And when I studied affirmative or scientific prayer through Dr. Master's University of Metaphysics or University of Sedona, I tapped into the greatest power that is, which is God. And what you do, and I'm going to give a very brief primer and difference on this, the term scientific prayer was coined by Ernest Holmes, the founder of Science of Mind. And Science of Mind, I believe, yes. And so the idea is there is methodologies behind the madness, if you will. There's techniques, just as in science, that will take you to authentic, I'll prejudicially say authentically pray, and that means getting results. And generally, just generalizing, I believe it's South American indigenous people, but I could be wrong. Someone will correct me on that out there, hopefully. When they pray for rain, they feel the rain. They imagine they're standing out in the field or wherever they're standing out, and they could feel the water on them already as if it's happening or as if it happens. That, in essence, is like scientific or affirmative prayer, although all my books about that, and there are a few that I've written, give you the steps. And there's many steps, too. I love that Dr. Masters has simplified into three or four steps the methodologies behind scientific or affirmative prayer, which are exactly the same thing. But in essence, you're experiencing it. You're believing that it has occurred. You trust that God has given it to you already before you have it. And that's the core basic thing of it versus, oh, please, God, give me that. Feel the difference in energy between, oh, please, God, I beseech thee, give me this versus, oh, I'm so grateful, I'm so thankful for the prosperity, for the abundance, for the great love that I have in my life, for the abilities that I have, the gifts to share with others. How powerful is that versus the other kind? So I highly recommend that. But here's another difference, a subtle difference. In commercial New Thought, and there are a lot of famous people out there, which I won't name, who say, well, all you have to do is go, I have to try to simplify this in my own mind. God is good and I am grateful. Well, that's great, that's good. Or saying, life is good and I am grateful. That's great, but it's not going to have any effect. You must put yourself in slightly altered state so that you open up your mind to the divine, and then your prayer or whatever it is you're saying will go deeper into the various levels of your mind and take hold. If you're just going around saying these affirmations, if you will, it's not affirmative prayer. It's not scientific prayer. It's just, at the least, harmless stuff you're saying. You're saying positive stuff, and it's nice to put out nice energy, but it's not going to affect your life on a deeper level. So
it's so true. So many people need to be aware that when you tap into the one source, the creative source of all, which you have and have been able to use to create all your books and your works and your music, when you tap into that source, I think your life is an example, Michael, that when you tap into that source, all is possible. And if you look back through thousands of years, the greatest artists, the greatest musicians have all tapped into this wonderful source of creativity, because it is the creator that is coming through them. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Metaphysical Insights, and I will be posting this also on some other sites that I have. But you can also find us in, I have a Podbean site, which I'll post it on, and Spreaker and iHeartRadio, which you can listen to. But you can find Dr. Michael Leike, and your website is, Michael?
Reverend Dr. Michael Leike dot Weebly dot com. So it's R-E-V, Rev, no period, Rev Dr. D-R, Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L-L-I-K-E-Y, Rev Dr. Michael Leike dot Weebly dot com. I have to buy a simpler domain name than that. But Google me, if you'll pardon the expression, Google me, and something of mine will come up and will probably lead you to that. I have a WordPress as well, which is Dr. Leike, D-R-L-I-K-E-Y, no period, Dr. Leike, .wordpress.com, I believe. So look up WordPress, look up Dr. Leike with no period.
And, of course, Amazon for your books are on Amazon.
Yes, there are many, many books. I'm going to change over many of my Kindle books to actual soft cover books this year. That's another goal, so people can actually hold on to books. I love Kindle. I love PDF files and all that sort of thing, but there's nothing like holding the book. There's nothing like taking a book with you to the beach and reading and feeling, because that has a whole different feel, doesn't it?
You know, we could almost do a whole show, and we maybe should, on that, because
sure.
I have, in the books that I've done both soft cover, hard cover, and Kindle. And some people, I mean, I know when I travel, I use my Kindle. Nothing drives me a little more batty than when I have a long flight, that sometimes in 24 hours or something in flight going different places, you can lose your battery and then you lose all your books. So,
exactly.
But it's nice to have them all on one site. But when I'm sitting and meditating, if there's a book I have by my altar, it's not my Kindle. It is actually a soft cover book or a hard cover book, because there is something about being able to turn a page, especially. And you can't do that in a Kindle. And you can't have book signings, Doctor. You can't have book signings on an e-book. I found that out.
Exactly. I just love the feel of real books. I love and honor Kindle because it gets more books out there. But there's still, for me, nothing like a nice hardcover, the smell of it, the feel of it, the paper. But that's my own bias.
And I do want to talk about, we have about 12 minutes left. And I do want to talk a little bit about your music as well. Can you give us a few minutes of Transcendence?
Oh, excellent, yes. Transcendence is a combination. First of all, I'll share very briefly how I came about it. I knew I was going to write another book. I felt like I was going to write another book last year, and I just had no clue, but I had this, I have to call it an appetite, if you will. Like, I get into these moods, and it's like, okay, I'm going to write a book. And I never set limits on how long. It just happens a 300-page book can take me a month, or a 112-page book can take me a month. I don't know why. But in any case, I'm sitting down, I'm watching TV, and suddenly the word transcendence comes to me, and I go, oh, my gosh. This is what the goal is, in for me anyway, in this lifetime, is to transcend our human flawed mind, our human thoughts that say, oh, we're not good enough, etc. And how do we go about doing that? Bam. I couldn't wait to pick up my laptop and just go at it. But what I'll do is I'll write a few notes, I'll put that aside, and then reapproach it the next day or a few days later to see if the passion is still there. If the passion is still there, it's the right path. If not, then the notes go away for a while, I file them, and then I go back to them. So transcendence are all the techniques, for me anyway, boiled down, that will work for you. And that is, above all, mystical or contact meditation, period. Even if you just do that every day, you'll begin to heal. Even if you don't notice right away feelings or results, you get into mystical or contact meditation and it's really easy. It's, you know, I do not believe anyone who says, well, I can't meditate, and I've heard that so many times. Impossible. You can meditate. Even if you just do that, you combine that with the second technique of transcendence, which is affirmative or scientific prayer. Oh, my God, you have it all. You'll manifest abundance and prosperity. And I don't mean loads of money necessarily. That might come. But the whole idea between scientific and affirmative prayer is that you're living a God life. You're one with God, and hopefully God's will for you and your desires come through, and you know what to pray for. And that's the other thing I've learned from Dr. Masters as well. In true affirmative prayer, you're voicing or you're thinking what God really wants for you. And it might be very simple. It might not be. It might be piecemeal. So meditation, contact meditation, scientific or affirmative prayer. And finally, I've included Reiki in this because it's one of the things that changed my life, and it does change other people's lives. I've attuned many people to the Reiki energies, and there's three levels of them. So I've also structured transcendence on three levels, if you will, as well, so that people can get in on a basic level, or an intermediate level, or a more advanced level. And Reiki is a part of it, because once you're channeling the Reiki energy, pure God energy on a higher, on the highest level, you can't help but heal. And then you're naturally healing others. My wife and I, when we've gone on public transit in the past, all of a sudden our palms will begin to tingle, and the Reiki energy is going to whoever needs it. So it's an intelligent healing energy that doesn't need to be guided like prana. I love prana. I teach prana thanks to the University of Metaphysics. But Reiki, holy cow, Reiki will heal all of your issues on all levels over time. It's life-changing. So those are the three aspects of transcendence. And unfortunately, you have to be attuned by a Reiki master to be able to channel the Reiki energy. You can't just read my book or any book on Reiki or watch a video. If someone is charging and they're not giving you attunements, that's not legitimate. So find a legitimate teacher, either myself, because I can do distant attunements, or someone else that lives near you who's a Reiki master. Get attuned to Reiki energy. That's a great start, combined with affirmative or scientific prayer and meditation. That is true transcendence. You're well on your way.
Those are three fabulous keys. I became a Reiki master back in the 80s, but for me, I had been doing, since I had an enlightenment experience at the age of 15, I was able to do healings, and hands-on healings were happening, but people are very nervous about you just touching them. If you just say I'm going to be putting my hands on you to heal you, they get nervous. And if you, when I found Reiki, I went, oh great, I can call it something now. And I'm a Reiki master, and I was able to say, would you like a Reiki treatment? And people immediately knew what it was. Yes. And you do learn to be a clear channel.
Exactly.
And it is, and as Dr. Usui did in his search, you know, he was able to tap into that one source. And
yes.
And so it is, it's been a great gift for many people in the world, just as yoga is for many
yes.
people. Yoga is opening the door for many people to even begin to understand the power of union with God through doing physical yoga.
Tai Chi is absolutely.
Oh. Tai Chi is absolutely a wonderful gift. Wonderful gift. Absolutely. And there's so many gifts out there. And I think that there's a reason all of this is now coming about, where so many people are awakening. And I want to thank, there's been two people online. This show wasn't really about questions and answers to the public. I'd love to do other shows where we can do that. I do want to mention you've had blog talk shows for a while, and I certainly want to open the door to being able to offer you some time in this block if you ever want. Or I know
oh,
you're thinking
wonderful.
About doing, or beginning
wonderful.
Your own blog talk show again.
Yes, we'll be starting that up again soon, season, what I call season 5, or the fifth year of Blog Talk Radio, in about a month or so. I usually take some breaks in between. But when I guest on other people's shows, I'm often called upon, and hopefully you'll be open to this. If not, that's no problem, of course, Cindy. As I do readings, I do mediumship, and with that, I'll do a little affirmative prayer or a scientific prayer.
I love that.
To go with that.
I love that. It is a gift. That is a gift that you have. I know we were talking yesterday briefly. I was touching base with you. And we weren't on the phone that long, but you talked about Dr. Masters, sensing that Dr. Masters' presence was by me. And as you know, I knew him all my life, pretty much since I was the age of 13. And we were very close, and he was my stepfather. And just you saying that, you know, just you confirming that and affirming that, even though I sensed it, but by you saying that, was really a gift. And I think, I know you have that gift and you're a pure channel. So I do think it's wonderful that you're able to know how to offer the right words of assistance in a positive manner and constructive manner. It's hard to trust people out there. There's so many in this world that want to say, or make money sometimes just from saying that they're a tarot reader, a card reader, or a medium. But they may not have done the lifelong work you've done. And there is, it's always important to know and trust the person you're going to ask for assistance from.
Absolutely. I thank you for that, Cindy. That means the world to me. I'm so grateful for my gifts. I'm so grateful when other people acknowledge that, who I admire. And you're an example for me, too, you know.
Well, you know, we all are, and that's the wonderful thing about this family. In Hawaii, we use the word ohana. But anyone on this path is really part of the same family. The whole world is. But I think we as students and alumni, students of life, alumni of the teachings, really can offer encouragement and help and direction to others who are just beginning. And I think, and I wanted really to talk to you today because I know you've been able to achieve what a lot of people would love to achieve, and you're still doing more and more and more. And so I think you're really able to encourage people and give them the support and recognize that they can find and do what they want to do through this path. And it's really available in your books as well. Let's repeat your a couple ways to reach you in case people want to discover your books.
First way is Reverend Doctor, R-E-V-D-R, M-I-C-H-A-E-L-L-I-K-E-Y, all one word, Rev Doctor Michael Leike dot Weebly dot com. And the other way is my WordPress, which is Dr. Leike, again, no period, D-R-L-I-K-E-Y, probably dot WordPress dot com. And you'll have access to a lot of free tools on these sites
yes.
as well.
Yeah, and videos, and yep. of course, your work as a wonderful magician, your music, which we didn't even have the time to get into, your wonderful
there we
music.
We have a whole other show if you want.
Yes, and your tarot cards.
Yes.
And
oh, my soul oracle cards. I'm so excited about that. We've had them out for a few years, but now I'm presenting it as a manual. I'm working on that even as we speak, so that should be out in a week or so, actually, and everyone will benefit from that.
Soul Oracle cards. That's going to be a wonderful thing. I'll have to get some of those.
And that's actually the website, too, souloraclecards.com. I did buy the domain this week for that, souloraclecards.com. Check it out, and there's free readings on there if you want. Like, you can touch on a card, and it'll explain the meaning of the card of the day, which I also offer on Facebook. You can find me on Facebook. I'll often post a meditation or a card of the day on there.
And on Facebook, what's your Facebook site?
It's Dr. Michael Leike. It should be Dr. period Michael Leike.
Well, you know what, Dr. Michael Leike, it's really an honor. And again, without the University of Sedona, University of Metaphysics, I never would have connected with you or known about you. And people can go to the University of Sedona .com. They can find out more. I know there's going to be a convention coming up in May where people can connect with others as well. But it is a wonderful, wonderful resource from the source. And I feel very, very blessed to be a part of this family of wonderful people like you. who really truly are a blessing to the world, as you are, Doctor. You're a perfect example of someone on the path that continues to give and give and give, so purely from the soul and from spirit. So I just, from my heart to yours and from my soul to yours, I just want to say a big thank you, as we say in Hawaii, a big mahalo, and may you have continued blessings showered upon you so that you can shower more on the world.
Thank you so much. Peace and richest blessings to you, Cindy. Thank you so much.
Yes, and until we talk again, and I'm sure we will soon, God bless you and everyone.
You too. Thank you. Thank you so much for honoring me today, Cindy.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Earlier this week, Claire Tippins shared a princess nickname generator, 3 pictures of her dog wearing a tutu, and 2 online quizzes, including, what candy is your dream castle made of? Claire, your sharing has tipped the sugar scale and turned into oversharing. But have no fear, princess. Geico has something worth sharing with your internet kingdom, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance just by visiting geico.com. No magic wand required. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Percent or more on car insurance.